see everybody out this evening. It's always wonderful when we have the opportunity to come out and study. It's always a blessing and encouragement. It's good that we gather together each week, every first day, gather together on Wednesday nights, study with one another to help and encourage one another to continue as we live our lives upon this world. And that's one of the reasons we're here, is to help each other, encourage each other, to edify and to uplift each other. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So here, you know, telling us to, when we assemble with one another, not to forsake it, not to just skip out in order to stir up love amongst the brethren, in order to exhort, to edify, to encourage each other, continue to fight the good fight, because we have to remain faithful as we live our lives upon this earth. We have to continue to fight that good fight, continue to live according to the commands God has blessed us with until that day in which He has set aside to judge us. And so therefore, we need all the encouragement we can have, and of course we need all the practice we can get in order to remain faithful, in order to continue to remain a faithful Christian as we live our lives upon this earth. And so tonight I just want to talk about practice, that we need to continue in these things, continuously be making sure that we are walking according to the Word of God. Find things that are close, similar to it, but you know, practice makes perfect. Of course, we being humans, we can get caught up in making the point, well, no one's perfect. Yes, that's true. No one but our Lord and Savior has lived a perfect life upon this earth. We've all sinned and fallen short, but we do have a standard in which we are to follow. We do have the commands through the Word of God which tell us what we can and cannot do, and the things that we should be applying to our lives, that we can go to Peter and see that we're to add to our faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and perseverance godly. And we're supposed to continuously grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We're supposed to continue in these things, and therefore we have to continue in practice. And anything we do in our lives, and learning how to become good at it, learning how to be able to do it without having to go back to the books, having to go back and, you know, is by continuously keeping yourself caught up, continuously keeping yourself involved in it, and continuously practicing in such things. I played sports in high school. You practiced every day after school. And not did you just practice every day after school. You usually did some stuff when you're at home on your own, when you got up in the morning. There's continuousness in making sure so that you can do the best you can. And it's the same thing when it comes to being a Christian. When it comes to being a follower of Christ, we need to understand that we have to continue in these things. We have to continue in the standard that has been set. We are to be following our Lord and Savior who did live and lead us in this perfect standard. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, and starting there, and in verse 21, it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor is deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Here he has set the example for us. And it is that we are to daily take up our crosses and follow our Lord and Savior, to daily keep his commandments. It's not just, well, I do be a Christian while I'm here at worship, but when I go home, I can take my guard off. I can go home and just be at ease. Or maybe we make sure that our guard's on while we go out into the world, but then we let our guard down when we're here with the brethren, which we would hope should be a case in which we can do that, because we're amongst the brethren who are here to encourage us to continue in the right way, who are here to help us to fight the good fight, and shouldn't be trying to tempt you to fall into temptation. But if we're not always prepared to give an answer, always prepared to teach, always prepared for the temptation that might arise, when your guard's down is when Satan will attack. Therefore, we need to always be ready. We need to always make sure that we're prepared for these things. And in following in the footsteps of Christ, as we look to him, who when we read about him, there's not a time he took off in doing the work of God. Even at a young age, he was prepared to do the work the Father has set for him. As he left his family and his friends, and he went into the synagogue, and he was asking questions, and they were astonished by the questions and the things he was speaking, and his mother had found him. He said, "I'm supposed to be about my Father's business. What did you think I would be doing? Where did you think I would be going?" Started young, and making sure that he was ready and continued in these ways. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, we look to our Lord and Savior as an example of how we live our lives. And then here in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, as it speaks to husband and wives, that Christ, yes, he was not married, but yet he's still the one we look to and how we are to treat one another. As it speaks here, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be in their own, be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for them." Again, there's a high standard that has been set there. And love and respecting and being submissive to your husbands as the church to the Lord. Loving your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. That is the goal. That is the mark. That is where we want to be. And that doesn't just happen overnight. That doesn't just happen because you say, "Well, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm going to do." That takes time to learn to know how to love the way the Lord loves us, the way he does love us. To respect your husbands as leader, as Christ is to the church. So again, we see what the standard is. We see what he tells us we must do. But the Lord lived the perfect life. The Lord sacrificed all. Are we at that point? Can we say we do it as good as the Lord has done it? If not, then means we still need to be practicing. We still need to be studying. We still need to be praying. We still have work to do. As a Christian, there's always more we can be doing. There's always more we can be studying. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Colossians chapter 3, and reading here in verse 13, it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. How about forgiving? Have you got that down straight? You're strong at forgiving one another? You know, we can get caught up in saying, yeah, I'm pretty good at giving people a second chance. Pretty good at giving people a third chance. Are we as good as God is? As good as Christ is, who came down to sacrifice himself for those who are shouting, crucify him, crucify him. To be up on the cross and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Would you be willing and able to forgive someone at that time and place? Do we forgive on a daily basis? Do we have that merciful of a heart as Christ has for you? The patience that God has, the long suffering that we read about in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Giving us day to day, allowing us the opportunity to examine our lives, to make sure that we have fully repented of our sins. That when the sun rises up and you know that you're ready to help them and you want them to turn from the wrong that they've done to you and to others, but do you have that mindset that I am ready to forgive them if they come to me? Are we at, well, if they haven't asked by now, then they don't deserve it. Do we line up with Christ, our chief cornerstone? He is the standard. He is the goal. He is the mark that we aim for. And no one can raise their hand and say, I do it as good as Christ. Therefore, we have work that can be done. We have things we can work on. In Luke chapter 11, the Lord prayed so often. The Lord prayed so often that his disciples, his apostles, while with him, asked him to teach them how to pray. Luke 11, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, and when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now this is just an example prayer, model prayer as we call it. This ain't the only example that we can go to truly look at the prayers of our Lord and Savior. Look when he prayed for his disciples. Pray that when he leaves that they're able to continue as one, continue in the faith. Look when he prayed in the garden how he bowed down to the Lord and that he had other desire not to have to suffer, not to have to be beat, not to have to be scourged, but he doesn't say, yeah, I'm out. He says, nevertheless, your will be done. Look to him as the example. Look to him to see how often he prayed. Once again, did we pray as Christ prayed? We pray as often as he prayed, making sure as we study and read that he had so many people following him, thousands of people gathering around him. Every time they saw where he was, a flock of people would gather to hear what he had to say, to be healed by him, and yet he would find a way to go aside by himself to pray. Or do we get caught up in saying, I'm just too busy. I have too much on my plate. We need to practice. We need to continue in these things. When we talk about prayer, there's so many verses in the Word of God that talk about praying always, continuing in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, always praying, praying always. Luke 18 and verse 1, the Lord gave a parable, how they ought to always pray. A parable on it. Trying to lead them to understand that you always go to God in prayer. Continuously. Even when you don't feel that He's going to say yes to it. You know, He gives the example of the woman who continuously goes to the king. Don't give up. Pray. And believe that He will answer your prayers. Continuously pray. Paul, at the beginning of most of his letters, you go read the beginning of most of his letters, he starts off reading them, stating who he is. But he time and again makes that mention how often he prays for them. There in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 and 3, he says, night and day I pray. And I make sure I make mention of you. Continuously praying. Sometimes we get caught up and say, well, man, I struggle on how to talk with God. I struggle with what to say, how to approach Him. Yeah, that's why practice makes perfect. The more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to be. Once again, you open up your Bible and study, and it'll help you learn how to pray, setting the example as to what Paul prayed for, what the Lord prayed for, how they approached the Lord. Therefore, we need to be willing to open up our Bibles and study. As those in Acts 17 and verse 11, that they study the Scriptures daily to see whether or not what was being taught was the truth. They would study. Of course, we're not talking about them turning to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John reading about Jesus. They're studying the old law. They're studying the prophets and seeing whether or not these prophecies were truly what Jesus had fulfilled. Oh, you said Jesus is the son of David, which was prophesied? Okay, here's where it was prophesied. Jesus was the one that was beat and scourged and died for our sins. And they turn to Isaiah 53 and they read about it. They read about how He was born of a virgin. They see that the prophecies were fulfilled by searching the Scriptures. And for us to be ready for these things. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, where it tells us to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. That we are able to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in us. Are we ready? Can we give the answers? Once again, we look to Jesus as the example because as He lived His life upon this earth and He went and taught and He performed the miracles, the scribes and the Pharisees tried to tempt Him by questioning Him. Questioning about the afterlife and the resurrection. Questioning Him whether or not it is lawful to pay taxes. Questioning Him about divorce. They questioned Him, and He was ready to give answers. Are you prepared? Have you studied? Are you diligent in your studies so that you can rightly divide the word of truth? See, that's why we practice. That's why we study at home. That's why we study and open up and read our Scriptures. That's why we write down questions when we're reading them so that we can ask others to help us understand it fully. Because if we don't practice, we don't study, we don't do these things, we're not going to get any better. Once again, playing sports, I guarantee if I go out and I try to play some soccer like I did in high school, I'm not going to do as good as I did. I'm not going to run as fast. I'm not going to kick the ball as good. I'm not. Practice, when you stop practicing, If you don't continue in it, once again, you start to lose your touch. You start to forget. You get a little slow. You look at elders and deacons, you know, the qualifications, what we're studying in the adult class right now. The reason that they're qualified to step up in this leadership position is because they've had practice. Qualification there for both of them is that they have children. And that they have a family, that they have a wife. And for the elders, as it brings up there, is that if they can't rule their own house, then how can they rule over the church? How can they lead the congregation? They've proven themselves through the practice that they've had in patience with the children. Learning how to teach and being patient with the teaching. Learning to not be all selfish because you have others to take care of. Learning to have self-control when there's times that you do get upset and that you're at the verge of losing the temper. You learn a lot and you gain that practice. Once again, becoming a parent is not a command. You don't have to do that to be a Christian to get to heaven. I tell you what, it gives you a lot of practice in these things. We have to continue faithfully in the Word of God. We can't stop till the end. We have to continue in these things, lest we fall from the grace of God. Lest we lose our edge. Lest we're not ready to give an answer when someone questions us. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, where it tells us there, "Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison that you may be tried and have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." We're to be faithful to the end. Continuously, every day. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. Matthew 24 and in verse 13. Brings out here, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and the end will come." The end will come. Life continues. You have to endure. You have to remain faithful to the end. Therefore, you have to continue to practice today. How often is it that a star team, because they have so much confidence when they're playing a worse team, they don't practice as hard that week, that they don't get caught up in taking the game serious when they show up for the game, and because of it, they end up losing? Once again, I played soccer in high school. I wrestled in high school. And before high school, I would play everything that I could, whether it's baseball, football. I would try to play. I love sports. And there are plenty of those times where you get caught up in saying, "Well, this should be the easy win." And because you're overconfident, because you didn't prepare like you ought to, you didn't practice like you should, that you end up losing. We have to endure and continuously practice until the game is over. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Read what Paul writes here, what he's stating here. Of course, what he's telling Timothy is he's in prison. His time is almost over. He understands that he's not got much left here on earth. So he says, I fought the fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith, and I know the Lord will reward me. But what is he doing right now? He's writing a letter instructing Timothy to continue to fight the good fight, warning him of the things that he's going to face, encouraging him to remain faithful to the Lord. He has not stopped fighting. Because he's still alive while he's here in prison, so what can he do? Well, he can't go visit the sick because he's stuck in one place. He can't travel over to the congregation over here because he's in prison. He's chained up. What can he do? He can write letters. He can teach those who he's among. He can do his best to influence the guards, to the rulers who he has to speak for when he's on trial. He doesn't stop to the end. And we must do the same. We can't sit there and say, man, I think I can see the finish line, and you start to slow down, and you start to ease up. Get on YouTube, you can watch a lot of videos of examples of people who start to celebrate a little too soon. We must fight to the end. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation tonight to any who need to obey the gospel, to any who has been studying the word, that if you need to obey the gospel, we encourage you to do so. If you have questions and you want to learn more, we ask that you ask. And we'll study with you. We'll answer your questions. We'll look at the scriptures together. Or if you're here and you have obeyed the gospel already, but you've been struggling to keep up the word, to keep up the studying, to keep up the prayers, and you'd like the prayers of the brethren to help you, if there's anything we can do for you, you let it be known as we stand and sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life.